Okay, so thanks for inviting me to this seminar today. I am Kanato Goto, a postdoctoral researcher at RIKEN in Japan. And today's talk is based on the collaboration with Kenta Suzuki and Tomonori Ugajin from Kyoto University. So in this work, we developed a new method for the analysis of the SYK model without ensemble ablation, studied in a recent paper by Assad, Schenker, Stanford, and Yao. And I'll be submitting this paper to archive in about a week. And any questions are welcome, so please, feel free to interrupt me and ask questions. Okay, let me start. Okay, so today's main topic is the wormhole. And recent studies have revealed that the space-time wormhole in the path integral gravitational path integral plays an important role in exploring the non-perturbative aspect of quantum gravity. And at the same time, it has brought about a new mystery of quantum gravity. So I raised some examples. So one is a spectrum form factor. Its long-time behavior can be captured by the wormholes in the gravity site. And the page curve, including wormhole in the gravitational path integral, capture the hidden unitary time evolution of quantum black holes. But as I will explain, it also raises a new question. And the third one is, as I will explain later, including the wormhole in the path integral brought about a so-called factorization puzzle. This is also what I will explain it later. But let me first briefly revisit the page curve argument using the gravitational path integral. So let us consider calculating the entropy of Hawking radiation by the replica method using the gravitational path integral. In the replica method, we consider the n-copies of the n-copies of the original spacetime to calculate the nth power of the density metric of the Hawking radiation. And recent studies have shown that in the case of the systems involving gravity, various spacetime geometries contribute to this path integral. In particular, it was found that there exists a wormhole geometry like this that connects each replicated asymptotic region. And this gives an important contribution to the calculation of the entropy of Hawking radiation. And in the original paper, such a wormhole spacetime in the replica geometry was considered for calculating the entropy of the Hawking radiation in non-evaporating eternal black holes. However, a paper I wrote with Hartmann and Tajini revealed that a similar wormhole geometry also exists for evaporating black hole, where the information loss actually might occur. And this wormhole shuttle actually reproduces the so-called page curve. The entropy calculated, for an evaporating black hole, the entropy calculated from this usual n copies of the original black hole spacetime continues to glow as black hole evaporates. On the other hand, contribution from the wormhole connecting each replica sheet become dominant at late stage of the black hole evaporation, and which gives the decreasing behavior of the entropy as black hole evaporates. So following this calculation, we can conclude that entropy of the Hawking radiation goes to zero as the black hole completely evaporates and the no information loss occurs. The wormhole geometry that appears in the gravitational path integral is so closely related to the unitality of the black hole evaporation. But I think the correct interpretation of the recent progress of the black hole information paradox is that the original question about the black hole information has been replaced by another question. The question is, why should we include the wormholes in the gravitational path integral? So let me consider, for example, the gravitational path integral that computes the density metric itself, not nth power of it. So this kind of density metrics of the Hawking radiation itself does not seem to include the information of the wormhole, which appears in the replica method. So even if we calculate the nth power of this geometry, it seems that only we can get only n copies of the original spacetimes, and the behavior. So the entropy of the Hawking radiation computed from this geometry will give us the ever increasing behavior of the entropy and suggesting the information loss. So the method of the gravitational path integral, including wormhole geometry, is in this sense not consistent with it within itself. And so I think it is necessary. So finally, it is necessary to understand how this wormhole in the gravitational path integral appears from the microscopic degrees of freedom of a quantum gravity to fully understand the resolution of the black hole information paradox. So another problem is the factorization puzzle, first pointed by Marjason and Maus. So let us consider the partition function. So let me consider the ADS CFD correspondence and consider the partition function of the boundary theory and its corresponding gravitational path integral defined in the bulk gravity theory. So for example, when there is a single boundary, asymptotic boundary, the dual partition function is computed on the bulk side by the gravitational path integral over this disk-like geometry anchored at at this boundary. So this is okay, but so what happens if we study the case where there are two asymptotic boundary? On the boundary side, the salary is defined on each boundary, left and right. So as a result, the partial boundary partition function is just computed on each boundary. So it factorizes. So it clearly factorizes. But on the other hand, if we compute it in the bulk gravity theory, so one contribution is obvious, just a product of the disk-like geometry, which we consider here. But there are also contributions from the wormhole-like geometry, which connects two asymptotic boundaries. So in this case, on the bulk side, so if such a wormhole contribution exists, the partition functions in the gravity side does not seem to factorize. This is called a factorization puzzle, and it has remained a major problem for understanding the gravitational mass integral and the quantum gravity. Recent progress in understanding of low dimensional holography revealed that in some cases, the semi-classical gravity theory is due to the ensemble average of the boundary theories, not a single theory. So the one example is the SYK model. And in this case, this non-factorization is completely okay because each bulk partition function corresponds to the ensemble average of the partition functions of the boundary theories, especially in the SYK case, that they saw their average over the cap rings in the SYK models, then their ensemble average of ZL, the left times the right, the product of the partition functions, does not have to equal to the ensemble average of Z left times ensemble average of the right. So in this case, there's no factorization problem. And the existence of the wormhole seems to fit with this interpretation of the boundary theory. On the other hand, as we know, in general dimensions, in higher dimensions, a single gravity theory is dual to a single boundary theory. Just like a string, so the duality between the string theory on ADS5S5 and the single super Yamil theory. So the question is, what happens if we pick just one theory from the ensemble? Or in other words, we fix the couplings in the SYK model. What happens for this factorization problem? What happens for the wormholes? Are wormholes still there? Is there any other elements to restore the factorization or not? So these questions are what we are going to discuss today. Okay, so before proceeding, I would like to discuss what the wormholes in the SYK model mean. So in ordinary disorder average SYK model, instead of the original description in terms of the fermions, we can introduce the collective field description. Okay, so suppose we are computing the product of the partial function, the left and the right of the SYK model. And in this case, we can introduce the collective field GAB. A and B are either left or right, which is defined as a bilinear of the fermions of the left and right, left or right system, left or right SYK model. So we can introduce this collective field in the SYK model. And we can also introduce the other collective field sigma AB, which is related to GAB by the saddle point equations. So as you can see, there are several types of collective fields. So first, let me consider GLL. So GLL is a bilinear of the fermions in the left system. So it represents the correlation within the left system itself. And similarly, GLR represents the correlation within the right system itself. On the other hand, GLR represents the correlation between LSYK and R left SYK and right SYK. So what we mean by wormhole in the SYK model is that solution with GLR and also sigma LR are not equals to zero. So this is what we mean by the wormhole in the SYK model. We define the wormhole in the SYK model in terms of the collective field description. Okay. So recently, several months ago, Sarg, Schenker, Stanhold, and Yao studied the SYK model with fixed cap rings. And they using they analyzed the fixed coupling SYK using some techniques of a collective field description. And short summary of their paper is as follows. They found that even in their fixed coupling SYK model, there continue to exist wormhole saddles. Wormhole saddles continue to exist in the fixed coupling SYK model. However, there are also a new semi-classical contributions called half wormhole. And it plays an important role in restoring the factorization property. Half wormhole exists in the fixed coupling SYK model, but they do not exist in the ensemble averaged SYK model. So there are important properties of the half wormholes discussed in SSSY, Schenker, Stanhold, and Yao. So I want to make some comments before going into detail. So first important property of the half wormholes is that they are strongly sensitive to the coupling and it disappears after averaging. So on the other hand, the wormhole saddles are not sensitive to cap rings and they are self-averaging. So even after averaging, they continue to exist in the path integral. But half wormhole does not exist in the ensemble after averaging, ensemble averaging. The second point is that it plays an important role in restoring factorization of the product of the left and the right for fixed coupling SYK model. Although it is not so manifest in their paper because there still exists a wormhole saddle in the fixed coupling limit, and they might spoil the factorization. But it plays an important role for the factorization. And the third point is that it is also pointed out by Bromer, Kruthoff, and Garcia-Gaudet. Presumably, they have gravity duals, and they can be interpreted as Brock planes. So in this thread, I won't explain them in detail, but let me go back after introducing our model and methods. So this is a short summary of the SSSY paper about the half-form holes. But let me comment on some less clear points in their paper. So I will mention three points. First of all, first point is that they didn't fully use the power of collective field. I mean, they analyzed the SYK model with fixed couplings using the techniques of the collective fields. But in order to do the saddle point analysis using collective field techniques, we have to integrate over all the original Fermilab variables, as I will explain. We can easily do this in the average theory, but in the fixed coupling theory, it becomes very difficult. So they did not do the saddle point analysis directly for the product of the left times the right. Instead, they analyzed its variance computed from the ensemble average of square of the left times the R. So their analysis is in some sense not direct. They did not directly analyzing the product of the left and the right. The second thing is, as I mentioned in their paper, the factorization is not manifest because there exists wormhole saddles even in the fixed coupling theory. I will mention it later again. And the third thing is that they only analyze two extremal limits, which are totally disorder averaged SYK model and the totally fixed coupling SYK model. So they only analyze these two limits. So it is not clear. So, and they argue that in the totally fixed coupling SYK model, half-form hole saddles appear, but it is not clear why half-form holes suddenly appear if we fix the coupling of the SYK model. So in our work, we overcame these unsatisfactory points using a new SYK model and a new method of corrective fields. Okay, so let me give a short summary about what we did in our paper. So first, we introduced what we call a partially disordered averaged SYK model. This is one parameter family of the disorder averaged SYK model. And it smoothly interprets between the totally disordered average SYK model, which we usually study, and the SYK model with fixed couplings, which SSSY analyzed in their paper. So our model smoothly connects these two SYK models with one parameter. And we analyzed this partially disordered average SYK model using the corrective field description. The usual disordered average SYK model introduces one set of corrective field, GLR and sigma LR, as I explained earlier, to represent the wormhole geometry. But our partially disordered average SYK model has two types of couplings. One is a fully averaged coupling, and another is fixed couplings, as I will explain. So for fully averaged coupling, we introduce the collective field, the usual collective field GLR and sigma LL, as usual. On the other hand, for the new degrees of freedom that comes from the fixed couplings, we also introduce a new set of the collective fields, which I will explain. And we use these two sets of corrective fields to directly perform the semi-classical analysis in the large N limit of the SYK model using the saddle point approximation. Also, as I will explain later, in our formalism, as in SSSY, both wormhole saddles and half wormhole saddles exist in the path integral of the two-point function of the partial function ZL times ZR. However, for a special reason that I will explain later, the factorization property becomes manifest in the totally fixed coupling limits, unlike the SSSY. Also, although there is not enough time to explain it today, we obtain a new insight into the gravity dual of half wormholes by using our newly introduced collective fields. So let me explain this point in detail from now. Okay. Okay, so let me explain our model in detail. The partially disordered average SYK, which we introduced in our paper, has exactly the same Hamiltonian as the usual SYK. I wrote down the Hamiltonian here. So in this Hamiltonian, there are several phenomena, chi I1 to chi IQ. They are quantum mechanical fermion operators. And JI1 to IQ are the couplings between two fermions in the Hamiltonian. And you have capital N, in total, capital N fermions. And in usual SYK, these couplings are chosen from the Gaussian distribution. So this is the Hamiltonian. But okay, so now we are considering the partially averaged SYK. So we are imagining just picking up fixed sets of these couplings by changing the probability distribution of the coupling from the usual Gaussian distribution. So let me explain in detail. So here is the probability distribution for the couplings in our partially averaged SYK models. So in addition to the usual Gaussian distribution written here, I added additional term which partially fixed coupling. So let me explain why this term partially fixed the coupling in the next slide. So, okay, so we added this additional Gaussian factor with mean value J0, I1 to IQ, which is the set of the fixed coupling we choose. And here we also have one parameter sigma that controls the variance of the distribution around J0. Or more intuitively, it controls how much we average the couplings. So let us see how this additional term works. In the large sigma limit, as you can see, this term will disappear. So we can recover the usual disorder average SYK model. On the other hand, the small sigma limit, the second term, newly introduced term, dominates in this limit. And in the strictly sigma equals to zero limit, this term will give us the delta function, which restricts the coupling to J0, so this is the fixed coupling we choose. So this factor actually fixes the coupling in the SYK model. So as I summarize, in the sigma equals to zero limit, our model corresponds to a totally disordered averaged SYK model. On the other hand, sigma goes to sigma goes to infinite limit corresponds to a totally disordered averaged SYK model. And sigma goes to zero limit, we have a totally fixed coupling SYK model. So this is how this additional term in the probability distribution works. So first, let me show the spectrum and the spectrum form factor of our SYK model and see how this partially coupling fixing distribution works. So we take n equals 8, q equals 4 SYK model, and it took a set of the fixed couplings which are randomly chosen from the usual Gaussian distribution. This is the fixed coupling of our partially fixed, partially disordered averaged SYK model. So here's the spectrum. So as I explained, the parameter sigma controls how we fix the couplings or how we average the couplings in the SYK model. So sigma equals 3 is the most disordered averaged one among other two. And so green line shows the smooth distribution of the density of state. And as we gradually fix the coupling by gradually make a sigma bigger, smaller. This graph, so the orange is a sigma equals to 0.3, and some bumps become visible, as you can see. And sigma is, so blue curve corresponds to sigma equals to 0.03, which is almost, which is the SYK model with almost totally fixed coupling. And as you can see in this blue curve, we have several delta function-like peaks for the density of state, which corresponds to the energy eigenstate of the SYK model with a fixed couplings, fixed coupling we choose.
Sorry.
The right hand.
Sorry. How sorry. Does this feel? I'm just a little bit confused because N should be very large, right? Or not?
Yeah. So later I will perform the large N analysis of the SYK model, but here I just wanted to show how our partially fixing distribution works. So I just take N and it goes to 8. This is just demonstration.
Now, of course, when you fix N to a finite value, it's straightforward to interpolate, right? Because you just put a parameter and you interpolate. But if N is infinity, how does the sigma need to scale to so that you still have an interpolation?
What do you mean by, sorry, I don't fully understand your question. So
for any, so... Yeah, so when N is a, if you increase N, what would happen to the, you keep sigma to be this value that you chose, 303003, what would happen if N was 8,000 with these values of sigma?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I haven't done the numerical calculation for large N. So I don't,
Can I ask Kanato, you know, in the usual SYK, the relevant coupling is really a ratio of a J and an N to some power, right?
Yeah.
Will a similar ratio of N and sigma appear in your large N analysis?
So I will explain about the effective action of this YK model. And
So I think that's what Pedro wants to know, but he's just jumping ahead.
Okay. I see the formula already there.
Yes. Yeah, so here we have a usual J over N factor as the usual SYK model. So we have similar properties.
I guess the answer is in the bottom right corner, right? To my question, it's that formula.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let me explain later. Yeah. So this is just a demonstration how the our probability distribution works. Okay. So the right hand side, I plotted the spectrum for factor in our SYK model, which is given by the essentially given by the Fourier transform of the energy level spacing. So here's a picture. So as usual, we have um, 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 we first have a slope and the ramp and plateau. But the green line, which is the most averaged one, shows some smooth curve like this. But as we gradually fix the coupling, we have a range gap with some errors at late times. And the blue time, and for the blue curve, which it corresponds to the almost fixing coupling limit, we have a very large electric behavior at late times. So this is expected from the single realization of the SYK model. And let me make some comments. So the behavior of the red time lesion is captured by, so as I mentioned earlier, this late time behavior is captured by the wormhole geometry in the gravity site. So this noise that starts at late times is a signal of the existence of the another space-time geometry than the usual wormholes, which is highly sensitive to the coupling. And so this is, in other words, a signal of the existence of the half wormhole geometry. But anyway, so from the next slide, I will use the collective field description to study the half wormhole subtles. And okay, let me moving on. So we will now use the corrective field description to study the wormhole in our partially disordered average SYK model. And as I mentioned earlier, the collective field description is a description that we usually use in the disordered SYK model. As I mentioned in the SSSY paper that studied the SYK model with fixed couplings, they also use the technique of the collective field, but they didn't study directly the product of ZL times ZR. They instead study its variance defined as this. So the analysis is not a direct one, but on the other hand, our model, all the quantity, all the physical quantities are always computed after averaging. So the collective field description can be introduced more easily than the SYK with fixed coupling in the SSSY paper. So in our paper, using the collective field description, we have successfully performed the direct saddle point analysis of the product of ZL times ZR, the product of the partial function of the SYK model. I will explain this step by step in the following slides. Okay, so in order to simplify the discussion, let's discuss the zero dimensional SYK model, simplified SYK model, which doesn't have a time direction. So this simplified model was first discussed in the SSSY paper, and it is also discussed in the subsequent paper by Bukhamidzhanov as well. So in this model, the product of the partition function Z left times ZR of the two SYK model is simply represented by the Grassmann variable chi, the integral of the Grassmann variable chi L and chi R. which represents the phelomions of each SYK model. And the action which appears in the exponential function is simply the same form as the Hamiltonian because there's no time direction in this model. The couplings, so coupling J in the Lagrangian of this model is averaged with our probability distribution like this, which partially fixes the coupling, as I explained earlier. So let me consider to take average this quantity with this probability distribution. So the answer is as follows. We have averaged two-point function of the partition function like this. And here we have the effective actions for the the product of the SYK model. And here's the effective action. Okay, so it consists of two terms. And first term comes from the usual Gaussian factor of the probability distribution. And so this is this term also exists in the totally disorder average SYK model as well. The second term comes from the this term in the probability distribution, which is newly introduced in our paper to partially fix the couplings. So it takes the same form as the action in the SYK model with fixed couplings. So it depends on the sigma and the fixed coupling JZL. So the effective action in our partially fixed coupling SYK model consists of these two terms. So as you can see, the first term is a normal bilocal term of the phelomions in the left system and the right system, which allows us to introduce the collective field GLR as usual. But the second term is not in a form that allows us to introduce the collective field. So here we use a trick. Here, JZL fixed coupling we chose. Here we have a fixed coupling JZL, and we consider to decompose this JZL into Q fermion-like vector variables. Theta I to theta IQ as this one. And if we do this, this second term can be rewritten as the this one, which is very similar to the first term in the effective action. So in this way, we rely the effective actions, the second term in the effective action, and now we introduce the collective fields. So for the first term, we introduce the bilocal fields as usual, GLR, and the second term, we in a similar way, we introduce a local field we call GL sigma. And GR sigma. This is bilinear of the theta I which is which comes from the fixed coupling, and the chi A is L or R, the phenomenon in the left system or right system. So we have two types of the collective field for this effective action. Before proceeding, I would like to consider the meaning of this newly introduced local field, G sigma. So this local field is represented by the product, as I explained, it is expressed by the product of the theta I, a fermion-like variable, and the chi L or chi R, the fermions in the SYK model. So, so let me remind ourselves that theta I was originally a fixed coupling J0, which we introduced. So if we consider this product GL times GR, which is essentially equals to this product, okay? So here J0 is a fixed coupling. So we fixed this coupling in our partially disordered average SYK model. But in this slide, in order to clarify the meaning of the this local field G sigma, let me imagine that we average this quantity over this coupling. Okay, so
can I ask a question? Just so I see if I understand. So these thetas are the definition of your model, right? So your model is these thetas. It's not like thetas are a trick that you can use in any model, right? The thetas are a specific, I mean, you started with J0, that was a number. And then at some point, instead of a number, it became some fermionic quantity, which is fine, but it's definition, right? It's not a trick.
Yeah, it's a definition, yeah.
Okay, so then your model differs in a substantial way from the one that you were describing, this SYYYK model, by this property, right? That the coupling is fermionic.
So they didn't introduce this collective field at all. So it makes it difficult to analyze in the subtle point analysis in the large n limits. But here, yeah.
Or let me ask differently. I thought your original problem was you wanted to fix some J0 coupling, right? So J0 was a number that was fixed instead of averaging. But then there was a step where instead of fixing this number, you introduced fermions. Mm-hmm. Did I miss something basic? I mean, why are these two things related? To me, it looks very different. One is a number, one is a bunch of fermions. Maybe I'm confusing some.
So you mean the original JSL is a just number, but the theta is a fermionic variable. So why they are related with each other? That's what you wanted to ask, right?
No, I'm not sure. So J0 was a sequence of numbers, right? J0 as an index,
yeah.
A bunch of numbers. Now instead, you said that J0 is a product of Grassmann variables.
Right.
It doesn't look the same to me, right? One is a number, one is a product of two Grassmann.
Yeah, so
it's a different problem.
Of course, of course.
You changed the problem you were describing.
Right. So here, so artificially introduced this anti-commuting variables by hand. And so this is not just a C number. And it may be realized, for example, as matrices, right? For example, to realize this anti-commutation relation. So here in this expression, we implicitly take trace of the matrices theta I to theta I cube. And and the will recover the original C number J0I12IQ. So here we use a very sloppy notation, but here we implicitly take traces of the matrices I theta I for theta I. So that's what we did for this posterior. So these are matrices with anti-commutation relation like this, and we take a trace of them and we get the original fixed coupling. This is what we did in precisely speaking.
Sorry, but is that then giving you a special set of J zeros, or are you claiming that if I pick any random set of J zeros from the Gaussian ensemble, if the thetas are big enough or some property is satisfied, I can reproduce any of those thetas with a collection of matrices like that? Is that right? Or which?
Yeah, I think so. So I can choose. So if I choose large enough matrices for theta I, we can always reproduce the fixed couplings chosen from the Gaussian X distribution always. So the choice of the matrices corresponds to the choice of the fixed couplings.
So there is a trace missing, and I should think of this.
Yeah, trace missing. Yeah,
like a tensor network representation of this J, right? I build this J out of many tensors. If the tensor is big enough, like as you just said, I can reproduce anything down there, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I wanted to. Explain. Yeah,
it's not a different model. It's the same model, but this is a trick to study.
Yeah, this is just a trick to study the larger. Yeah.
I was missing that trace. Okay, good.
Sorry. Yeah. So you know, in this slide, in this talk, we always implicitly taking traces of the matrices of theta. So Okay. Let me consider this product. Newly introduced a local field G sigma, the product of G sigma, and let me imagine taking the average over this coupling J cell. Then we finally get this expression bilinear in terms of chi L and chi R, which gives the just ordinarily collective field GLR. So in this sense, the local field G sigma, which we introduced, is in some sense half of the bilocal field GLR. Okay, so So let me explain this picture. This picture nicely explains this. So left hand side, we have product of G sigma L and G sigma R, and they can be regarded as a correlation between the boundary Felmion and another Felmionic variables on the another place or another universe. And after averaging the couplings or averaging over this variable, we have a connected curve like this. And this represents the correlation between the left system and right system. And this can be interpreted as a bilocal field GLR, representing the wormhole between these two systems. So this is what we interpret the local fields, which we introduced in our model. So we sometimes call this local field as half bilocal fields. So in order to obtain the effective actions for these collective fields, we can apply the usual trick, which is called the Hubbard-Chernovich trick to usual collective field and the half bilocal field, which we newly introduced. So in this trick, we insert the delta functions in the integral of the collective field G LR and G sigma. And this can be rewritten as this one by additionally introducing sigma variable like this. So, and we can see that we can put this term in the effective action additionally. And finally, and after integrating out the original fermion variable chi L and the chi R, we finally get the effective action for the collective fields. So the effective action of a collective field, which we finally get, is written as follows. So we have three types of terms. And the first line, we have the usual form of the effective action of the bilocal field for G sigma GLR and sigma LR. And the second term is a action for the half bilocal field, which we introduced, which takes a similar form as the ordinary bilocal fields. And the last term is an interaction term between the usual bilocal field and the half bilocal fields. And here we have the parameter lambda sigma, which depends on the barrier of the sigma, which controls how we fix the couplings. So in a totally disorder average limit corresponds to sigma equals to infinity. And in this limit, this parameter, which controls the strength of the interaction, goes to zero. And bilocal field sector and the half bilocal field sectors are decoupled with each other. On the other hand, in the sigma equals to zero limit, which is a totally fixed coupling limit, lambda sigma goes to infinity. So the bilocal sector and the bilocal field sector and the half bilocal field sectors are strongly coupled with each other. So now that effective action has been written down, so we can easily perform the saddle point analysis for the collective field in the large n limit. The saddle point equations for the collective action can be derived from our effective action as this one. So, so as you can see, we have a usual saddle point equation for the bilocal field plus lambda sigma dependent interaction term with the half bilocal fields sigma sigma and G sigma. So from now, we will analyze the solution of these saddle point equations in both the totally disordered average limit and the totally fixed coupling limit. Okay, let me consider the totally disordered average limit. where sigma goes to infinity and the lambda goes to zero. So in this case, we have, so this term goes to zero and this term goes to zero and this term goes to zero. So as a result, we have trivial bilocal fields, something like this, trivial half bilocal fields, something like this. And the saddle point equations reduce to the usual equation of motion for the bilocal fields, like this. So we only have wormhole saddle, just the same as the usual disorder averaged SYK model. And the solution can be expressed as follows. So for simplicity, we only write about the bilocal field GLR and half bilocal field G sigma L and G sigma R. As I mentioned earlier, in the total disorder average limit, where lambda sigma goes to zero, the bilocal half bilocal field goes to zero automatically. So if we draw a picture like this, the saddle point, so this is a complex plane of the collective fields, and the saddle point solution of G sigma fields localized at the center of this complex plane. On the other hand, the saddle point for the GLR, usual bilocal field, for this, for the wormhole solution, there are in total Q solutions located on the circle with unit one, as this one. These are, okay, so here's a picture of the wormhole solution in the totally disordered averaged limit. And we can confirm that by adding up all the saddles represented by this picture, we can approximate the product of the partial function ZL times ZL in the totally disordered average limit at large M. On the other hand, if we look at the lesion near the totally fixed coupling limit, where lambda goes to infinity, we will find the two different types of solutions. One is a wormhole solutions with G sigma and sigma, the half bilocal fields takes a trivial value zero. And another solution, which we call the half wormhole solution with non-trivial G sigma and the sigma. Okay, so let us look at the wormhole solution in this near fixed coupling lesion. Since we have set all the half bilocal fields zero to zero, so this equation again reduced to the ordinary disorder the equations in the disorder average SYK model. So we have the same wormhole solutions in the as the usual disorder average SYK model. So this means that wormhole saddles are independent of the value of sigma, and it's not sensitive to the averaging. and it exists even we fixed the coupling. So it's a totally same solution as the totally sold averaging limit. On the other hand, the solution with non-zero half by local fields does not exist. So let me next consider the half wormhole saddle, which we call.
Can I interrupt you? Now, talking for 1 hour and 10 minutes, but you had many questions. So it's like 10
yeah,
minutes
will,
enough
will,
to... Or do you need more
yeah,
time?
I think it's enough.
Okay,
I think
it's
enough. So, let me look at the half wormhole solution with a non-trivial G sigma L and G sigma R. So solutions can be drawn as follows. So the solution for G sigma is, in this case, placed on a circle with radius one. And there are two types of solution, precisely speaking, but essentially there are Q solutions in total. On the other hand, the solution for GLR, ordinarily by local fields, the saddles almost degenerate at the center of this complex plane. So it's proportional to the positive power of sigma, and we are considering the near fixed coupling limit where sigma goes to zero. So the solution for GLR is concentrated on the center of this complex plane. Okay, so this means that in the fixed coupling limit, the correlation between L and R represented by GLR goes to zero, and which is consistent with the SSSY paper. So let us summarize these results. In the near fixed coupling region, there are two types of solution. One is the wormhole solution, which is not sensitive to the variable sigma. And another solution is the half wormhole solution, which is very sensitive to the variable sigma. And if we evaluate the onshore action on each of these solutions gives the following values. So as you can see, for the half wormhole solution, onshore action takes very large value because here we have log sigma. So, and we are considering the sigma goes to zero limit. So this means that on the half wormhole solo will dominate in the fixed coupling limit. And as a result, wormhole saddle don't contribute at all to the product of the partition function. So this result brings a new insight into the factorization problem introduced at the beginning of this talk. As we have seen in our partially disordered averaged SYK model, a wormhole geometry does not respect the factorization. Such a wormhole does exist as a solution of the saddle point equation, but it has a zero measure, as I explained. And the half wormhole solution, which respect the factorization property, will dominate in a fixed coupling limit. So this means that in the fixed coupling limit, only the half wormhole solution will contribute to the path, to the product of the partition function. So in our model, the factorization property of this quantity is manifest. And finally, so we have only considered two extreme limits, a totally disordered average limit and a totally fixed Kaplan limit. And but finally, let us summarize how these two phases change with each other as we gradually change the value of the sigma. So first, in the total disorder average limit where sigma goes to infinity, as we saw earlier, only the wormhole shuttle exists. So in this case, we have only one type of solution. And in other words, in this limit, half wormhole solution, the wormhole solution degenerates. But once we partially fix the Kaplan, these two solutions, this degenerate, this degeneracy is resolved, and the wormhole solution and the half wormhole solution become two independent solutions. As we saw earlier, the wormhole solution is independent of the variable of the sigma, and the corrective fields take the exactly the same value as the original total disordered average limit. But on the other hand, the half wormhole solution strongly depends on the value of the sigma, and the value of collective field changes according to the value of the sigma. So especially the subtle of the half bilocal field, which was originally localized at the center of the complex plane, dissolves into the two different solutions like this. And on the other hand, the solution for the bilocal field GLR become localized near the origin of the complex plane. So this is how the half wormhole solutions and wormhole solutions changes as we vary the barrier of the sigma. Okay, so. So it's running out of time. So let me summarize my talk. So we introduced the partially disordered average SYK model, and it is useful to see how wormhole solutions and half wormhole solutions change as we gradually average the theories. And we also introduced a new set of the collective field, which represents the half wormhole, which enables us to larger and subtle point analysis of our partially disordered average SYK models. And in our method, while wormhole solution exists even in the fixed Kaplan limit, the factorization property is manifest because the half wormhole subtle become dominant. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the very nice talk. Are there more questions for Kanato? Okay, if not, let's thank him again.